Brethren, we are coming close to the end of another calendar year. Today is what, the 14th? So we're just roughly 2 weeks away. So I come here today with many questions. I don't know if we'll get the answers, but I do come here today with many questions. But there is one particular question I would like to ask all of us here. If you want to respond, that is fine. If you don't, that's okay. But is there anyone here who has a shred of a doubt whether they have God's Holy Spirit? You have doubt, Rachel? Okay. What does that mean? Not sure. Sometimes? Okay, interesting. It doesn't mean you don't have it, but sometimes you have doubts. Okay. Yeah, okay. Anyone else? Okay, no hands. So I take it all of us who have repented and baptized and consider yourself a part of the body of Christ, that you have God's Holy Spirit. So at the end of this sermon, by the end of this sermon, you'll see why I'm asking this question. Because it is a fundamental question if you claim to be a Christian. Because the definition of a Christian is one who has God's Holy Spirit. Amen. So if you don't, you're not a Christian. You can claim nominally that you're a Christian, as how many billion people do that, but in God's eyes, you have to have God's Holy Spirit. So God has given us some fruits of the Spirit, or some fruits that we can tell whether we have His Holy Spirit. And those fruits should be manifested in our lives. And if we have the Holy Spirit, we are going to bear fruit as well. We are going to bear those fruits. And we can turn to Galatians 5:22. Because that's going to be the basis of what I'm going to talk about here today. But I'm going to put another twist to it. Because the title of the sermon is The Hand That Serve. The Hand That Serve. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." And Brother Ken spoke about love last week. As we go into our thematic presentations between now and the Passover season, you're going to hear about these fruits of the Spirit. Because what we're aiming to do, brethren, is this. We want to take you on this journey where we're going to show you how, if you answer yes and if you have God's Holy Spirit, then these fruits of the Spirit should be at work in your life. And when they do, you're going to be a servant of the living God. You'll want to serve the living God because they manifest in different ways. One is love. The other is joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. It says, against such there is no law. Against such there is no law. Verse 6 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Because on the opposing side of not having God's Holy Spirit, what we are dealing with are some negatives. First of all, it tells us if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Christians are not under the law. Those who are under the law comes under the death penalty. Because when they break the law, death hangs over them. But we are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ, so we are not governed by the dictates of the law. But where the world makes a mistake, because they think you're not under the law, then you don't have to keep it. That is a big blunder. Take some understanding to realize that, or to come to a deeper understanding that not because you're not under the law, then you just threw it away and it's nailed to the cross and all that kind of stuff. But it says the works of the flesh are manifest, and these are, you know, some of the listings here. So if you don't have God's Holy Spirit, the lust of the flesh will be in your life. And what are they? Some of them at least: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And they can't. Because these are the things that war against the flesh. And if the world practices them as they do, or people in the world practices as they do, they have no part in inherit the kingdom of God unless they repent. And when they repent and truly have the Holy Spirit of God, then the fruits of the Spirit is going to manifest in their lives. It's a simple equation. If you simply equation. So my challenge with these questions I'm throwing out to you here is that if you have God's Holy Spirit, the challenge to all of us is that if you haven't already shown them the fruits of the Spirit, as we just outlined a while ago, then show them to your, in service to your fellow men, and in building and edifying the work of God. So I have some more questions that could help you to answer if you are in any kind of doubt on whether one has the Holy Spirit. So first of all, we know that God has given the Holy Spirit as a kind of down payment. It's a taste of what is to come. We know that. We have no doubt about that. And through the power of the Holy Spirit comes that comfort and that guidance that we need. Lead us into truth and wisdom and understanding and counsel and knowledge of God and anything that leads to salvation. But that, those fruits somehow must manifest in our lives for the good, the common good of the body of Christ. And for your brother and your sister, whom we have been told repeatedly in the scripture, we must love one another. Pray for one another. So here is another question, as I say, I have many of them. What role are these fruits playing in your life? What role are these fruits playing in your relationship with God? In your relationship with your brother, and in relationship with your sister. Because I don't want any of us for one moment who is going to conclude that we come here every Saturday just to sit here. It cannot be. It's a purpose to being here. It's a purpose to being called into the body of Christ. It's a reason these fruits are given for you. You know, when a seed, when you plant a seed and it germinates and it comes full blown, and it's, the harvest is ready, what do you eat with the fruit? What do you do with the fruit? You eat it. You don't want to allow that fruit to rot. I'm imagining a big mango right now. Yellow and red and, you know, those big beefy mango. I don't want that to spoil. Likewise, when those fruits manifest in your life, someone has got to taste it. Amen. The body of Christ has got to taste it. Your brother, your sister, the larger community must taste that fruit. So, question, what role are these foods playing in your life? What are you doing with them? What can you do with them? And believe me, there's a lot you can do with them. Should they make a difference in my life, in your life? Because we have been transformed through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And a transformed person don't remain the same.
Amen.
No. Your thoughts go through a revolutionary change where you don't see things as you usually do.
Amen.
The whole perspective on life is different. Your whole outlook. The things of interest in the past no longer stays with you.
Amen.
So these fruits transform or should transform that being who you are. Making a difference in your life and the life of the church and the life that you live. Another question. Why did Yeshua call me now? Why he didn't call my brother or my sister or my mother or my wife? She's called, but just for all of us, right? You know, interestingly, you know, when give a little narrative here, when God called me, I don't like to talk about myself, but I'm going to do it now. I know I had a calling to fulfill. And Bev had no interest. You'd never believe it. Every Saturday I got up and traveled 60 miles to church. She couldn't understand it. And my departed colleague and friend Ian Boyne would tell me, just live your life. This is your calling. Live your life. If God is calling her, she'll answer and she'll call. You just live your life as an example.
Amen.
And I've always imparted that information to spouses or a brother or a sister whose spouse is not in the church. Just live your life. Let the fruits of the Spirit manifest in your life. And God will do the rest. He calls. It's up to the person, of course. And so we have these challenges of why God is calling me now. I'm not better than Sister Barnes. Sister Barnes seemed to be a nice, sincere, upright lady. You know. But I'm a wretched sinner with all these bad thoughts and evil actions. So why call me? One day you can ask God that. Because in this life, I don't think we'll ever know that, the reason. I don't think we'll ever know that. So the question of why God called me and not him or her. Another question. And why did he call me? To do what? To do what? Not everybody's on this pulpit. Not everybody's song leading. Not everybody's in the kitchen. Not everybody's a deacon. But why did he call me? To do what? And he has given me this down payment that you can never imagine. How it has transformed my life that my interest of the past no longer is there. All I can do is pray, thy kingdom come, and I want things to happen. I want this world to be awakened to the reality that Jesus Christ is coming. I want to go on the roofs to shout it, to tell everybody, be prepared to meet your God. Those are some things we should have as part of our existence, painted in our psyche. Because we have come to realize that this life that we live is not the end all. And here we come now to this point of service. Because in all that we do, it's about service. You realize that? that we travel here every Saturday. God's people travel to different congregations every Saturday. And the moment that key is turned in that door, it is service. Brother Victor, when you open the door every Saturday, you're doing us a service. A big service. He's here from what? 11? All of us maybe just eating at that time. But from the moment the key turns in that door to the moment the key turns to lock that door for us to leave, it is service. And all of us are benefactors of that service. So you see how God gives us these fruits of the Spirit. Not everybody have the same thing. Because Victor, I don't know if I could do what you do. Honestly, I don't know if I could. We have a team of prayer warriors in the mornings. I tell Brother Ken and Sister Mary all the time, I don't know how you do it. Because I don't know if I could. I don't think I can. Because there are so many different reasons I have. And maybe one of these days I should just forget the reason and just, you know. But we'll see. So there are diversities of different roles that we have. So when you ask yourself, what role? Or what? Why God gave me this Holy Spirit? To do what? You can think of a million and one things since Victor came here and between that time and when we leave. And that is only 6 hours. We can think of a million and one things the other 6 days of the week or 6.5 days of the week that we can do. But it's all about that little word. Service. Service. And we can see why God expects these fruits to be manifested in our life. Because you know what? He's coming back. He's coming back. Jesus Christ is coming.
Amen.
And who is he coming for? This time, he's not coming to save sinners. He's coming for the redeemed. For the redeemed. So let me pause. And let me ask you again. Another question. Remember I told you I'm full of questions today. What do the fruits of the Spirit mean to you? Tell me. Pour it out on me. What do the fruits of the Spirit mean to you? Raise your hand if you can tell me. If you can, I'll move on.
Desires to do good deeds.
Sorry, you can get a mic so everyone else can.
Hello. The desire to do good or charity work and stuff like that.
All right, thanks. Another, Mario.
The desire to do the will of God.
Okay.
I see the fruit of the Spirit as the what is offspring. It is what is produced by the Spirit of God dwelling in us. So it's not something that we do on our own, in our own strength, but it's it's like an overflow of the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives.
Manifestation.
Pardon?
Manifestation.
Yes, that's how we identify who we are, if you have the Spirit of God.
The fruits of the Spirit can also be characterized as God's character. And God's character is full of love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. And that's what we're trying to produce with his deposit, to grow that deposit into his fullness, his character.
Maria, okay.
I was just going to say building lovely character.
Okay, thanks.
I would include all of what was said and to also say that a fruit is the means by which a tree reproduces itself and spread its seed. So the fruits of the Spirit should be used in the same way in a spiritual manner.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Everybody's correct. So you have the exact thinking of the Bible in terms of what the expectations are of one who has the fruits of the Spirit. It's godly character. The mind of God. He's imparting to us through the presence of his Holy Spirit what he's like.
Amen.
What he's like. And there comes responsibility with that. There comes an expectation with that. For sure. So here's the other question. What are the consequences of not using those fruits for the good of the body of Christ? There are consequences, you know. There are consequences. The tree that does not bear the fruit is going to wither and die. So God gives us those fruits and we, you know, wishy-washy. Neither cold nor hot. It's a little lukewarm and, you know. Sometimes I've observed that we could be in the church for many years and we reach a zone of complacency. We not growing and we think we know it all and we don't need I don't need to come to church. I know it all. I can stay at home and maybe watch the virtual church or, you know, catch a service live. Why am I coming to church? Brethren, be careful. The scriptures tell us not to forsake the assembly. There's a reason for that. Because your coming to church may not be just for the sermon. There are other things too. There are other people here too who may need you in service. Remember, everything you're doing is in service. Just remember that. Don't forget that. Everything we are doing in service. I wouldn't be here speaking to you if somebody didn't prepare this room and the sound and travel here and all of that goes together. It is service. So there are consequences of not serving. And that is where the danger lies for any congregation or any member of the body. If you are not engaged in service, serving one another, then there are some fallouts, definitely. And if we look deeper, we can see the reason that God expects us to serve. I don't think anyone in this body of Christ, not here but generally, is tired of hearing the fact that and the reality of when we are in the kingdom of God, that we are going to be kings and priests. It's in our psyche, we know that. Revelation 5 says it here. We shall be kings and priests and we shall reign on the earth. It's in our system, we know. Can you tell me what a king does? Can you tell me what a priest does? They serve. So we are being prepared to serve. You read Micah and you read Zephaniah and you read some of those prophetic scriptures and you see what is going to happen after Jesus Christ's return. The fallout of what is going to happen. The wasteness and the desolation that will be on the earth. And that there will be a rebuilding process that all of us are going to be involved in.
Amen.
You read Ezekiel and you see the educational aspect of it. That we're going to teach to. Brethren, what is that about?
Service.
So you see why we are being prepared now?
Amen.
To serve. But if we can't serve now, how are we going to serve later?
Amen.
Or if we're not serving effectively, how are we going to serve later? Brethren, I want to tell you, there's some stalwart sitting right beside you right now. Whose motto is your service? I have to look at them. I know them. I have to look at them twice sometimes. Because they just want to serve. And you wish you could be like that, right? I know you shouldn't envy. But you want to be in that sphere where you're just ready to serve. Some people can't say no. And you would want to have that kind of temperament. So, on the other end of the spectrum, you should ask yourself, am I doing enough?
Amen.
Should I be doing enough? Because you know what? Time is running out. Time is running out. And Messiah is coming.
Amen.
The time is short. Redeem the time that you have. Because you know what? The scripture tells us, there are some crowns waiting there. There are some stars waiting there. And I know some of us are going to have many, many stars glittering because of their service. Some of us, you know, I heard one brother said one time, you know, all I want to do is just to make it in the kingdom. Just to squeeze myself in. I said, no, I disagree. I want to go boldly and fully in.
Amen. Right.
Because you batter in this world on your job for 20, 30, 40 years. You give it all. You come early in the morning at 9 o'clock, you're still at your computer, laboring. Getting the money, yes, but as you get it, it goes. And guess what? One Friday evening, you go on. You get asleep. I don't need you anymore. And you're in shock. So how could they do this to me? So labor and serve a more higher calling. And you will not see, in all likelihood, if you're looking for physical things, those rewards in this life, but they're going to be extended to you in eternity, which will be forever. But forever. So brethren, service comes with a great responsibility and a sense of purpose. Another question. Do you have a feeling of satisfaction when you serve God in some way? You must. Because I feel it. When I do something I know for the church, sometimes it makes my whole week, whole month. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be for the church. It could be someone out there who don't even believe in God. So it's all about service. So the question should be, you know, why can't I do it more? There's a saying that I saw this week. And I say, you know, there's some logic in this. He said, life is like a camera. Focus on what is important. Listen to the language of the camera world. Life is like a camera. Focus on what is important. Capture the good times. develop from the negatives. I know we don't use negative anymore, but develop from the negatives. And if things don't work out, take another shot. Take another shot. If you try to serve in a particular way, it doesn't work out, move on to something else. May not be your gift. We always talk about gift, gifting and so on. Colossians 3:22. Servants, obey your earthly masters in everything. Now, some of your translation have the word slave. Slaves. And that's a mistranslation. And I hope to do something fuller on this. Because this is the verse some of those unscrupulous men used in the past to enact slavery. And it's slavery in the Bible. Doesn't mean slavery as we see it. In fact, the word I say is a mistranslation. It means servitude, servants. So one day I hope to expand on this. Because they use this to say, okay, you're a slave, so you better obey your master and everything. That's not what the Bible is talking about. So I hope to do an exposition one day on this, to show you that when you pull things out of context and twist it to your own liking, wow. So it says, servants, obey your earthly masters in everything, not only to please them while they are watching, but with sincerity, honor of heart, and fear of the Lord. These servants were paid. They weren't properties. The context here. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. Amen. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You serve the Lord Christ. So here, we get a kind of hint of what it is to serve when you dedicate yourself to a cause and the expectations that comes with that. So, as I said, one day I hope to put this into context because there's so much, you know, misunderstanding of what the Bible talks about. The word slave should not really be there. It's really servant. But as Christians, the question is, as Christians with the fruit of the Spirit, who are we serving? Who are we really serving? Serving ourselves? I don't think so. We have a master who calls, and we are in service to him. We are in service to him. So we follow him in every dictate. And we know we are answering his call and the expectations here. Malachi 1 verse 7. We come in this body and we answer our call to honor and to praise God to our fullest, giving him the best that we can. If we can come here, if we can go to our work 8:30 on the dot every morning, I see no reason why we can't come here 1:30 on the dot every Saturday. I can't see that. The same kind of attitude we have to serve our earthly masters should be the same attitude in serving the living God. And there's no excuse for it. I'm not going to mince words. If you can go to work 8 o'clock every morning, you have to get up from 5:30 in the morning and catch 3 trains and reach at 8:30. It's early then. On Saturday we reach at 1:30. It's later. So I cannot accept any excuse why we cannot be here at 1:30. It's for another sermon. But you offer polluted bread upon my altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted you? In that you say the table of the Lord is contemptible. Not only that, you offer blind for sacrifice. You look for the worst. You look for all the blind lambs and the one with the sores on the feet. Yeah. and you bring them to me for sacrifice. Wow. Is not that evil? That's the word of God, not my words. Question, is not that evil? The lame and the sick? You know what? Offer it to your governor. Walk in your workplace at 8:45 and tell your boss that, you know, I just couldn't go wake up out of my bed. It's taking a little, you know, time off here. You go and tell your boss that. The same kind of attitude, brethren, that is out there. And we as Christians who have the fruits of this Holy Spirit, whom God has plucked out of Babylon and who was placed in his body with all those glorious promises to come, brethren, if we are sleeping, wake up. You said it. Wake up. When we talk about service, these are some of the things we have to think of in our ongoing quest to be transformed by the Holy Spirit of God. Will he be pleased with you or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us, because we are at his mercy in everything that we do. We are at his mercy. I don't want to be turned away on that day when I'm expecting this body to be transformed. And then he's going to say, you know what? I don't even know you. I don't want that. It's not but what I do. I know my works are not going to save me. I know that. That's why it says here, I beseech you that God will be gracious unto us. Because we have all fallen short in some respect. But I think what God looks on is our attitude to him. Those little things I just mentioned here, going to work early but coming to church late. Those are some little things that talks about the character that is born out in the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we may see them as small little things, but they can add to bigger things in this life. Bigger things. So brethren, we're talking about those hands that serve the living God. As you see those days winding down, as you see those years winding down and you are getting older, and you know the time is coming close, and we have, if not have been doing some of these, or waking up to some of these realities, we must before it's too late. He said in Revelation 20, behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me to give every man according to his works. The reward is coming. And Hebrews 6:10 tells us, God is not unjust. This is not unjust. He will not forget your work. Amen. Your boss, you worked there for 40 years, you don't even get a little medal. Sometimes. I worked for one company for 23 years. One Friday at 11 a.m., they called me. Oh, sorry, but restructuring. We don't need you anymore. So sometimes we hold on to the little job. We hold on to the little job and we sacrifice a lot of things for the job. And the real sacrifice for Christ we don't make. You know, I can't do this because I have to do this. Can't be double-minded. God is God. Man is man. So he will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. This is about service. This is about service. Let me read it again. It says he will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. He's not going to forget. He's not going to forget. Proverbs 11:25 says, wisdom, whoever brings blessing will be enriched. And the one who waters will be himself watered. You serve, service will come to you.
Amen.
The good you do will follow you. Alright, I grew up with that. In my ears, ricocheting in my ears, vibrating in my ears, echoing in my ears from my father. He said the good you do will follow you. Wisdom. Matthew 23:11, what this Christ says. He says the greatest among you will be your servant. The greatest among you will be your servant. And Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served. He did not come here to be served. The Son of God, royalty, king. And you know kings love service, right? Oh man. Kings love to be served. I don't know. I don't even know if they write, sign their own document. They maybe have somebody to sign for them. They just love to be served. But our king came not to be served. Not to be served. But to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. As a ransom for many. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. To serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. To serve one another. All there. Galatians again, 6:1 reminds us. So then, as we have opportunity, and I spoke about that earlier, there's so many opportunities here in this congregation to serve. So then as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. When last have we spoken with another brother from this congregation during the week? Ask yourself, such and such need a call? Should I see how he's doing? You're busy people. All of us are busy people. Busy, busy, busy as a bee. Those are some little things we can ask. That one phone call during the week, they mean a lot. Even if you don't have time on the phone, sure you have email. Send a little note. How are you doing today? Makes a difference. So brethren, if we are going to talk about love or kindness, a fruit of the Holy Spirit, then, wow, are we not serving one another? If we talk about it and don't do it? One writer says, when you acknowledge the fullness of your life, you can manifest a heart of service in any situation. In that sense, service doesn't start when we have something to give. Right? Not only when you have something to give. It blossoms naturally when we have nothing left to take. To take. You know, this world love, this is the giving season, you know, right? Oh man, these stores are doing a fabulous business. Giving, 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 giving. And some are getting, 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 getting too. Some are taking, taking, taking too. And some people use that to say, you know, what is wrong with giving? What is wrong with giving? Nothing's wrong with giving. But it is always an intent. Always an intent. Do you give to get back? You can give and don't expect anything. But you can give throughout the whole year. Why just this time of the year? He says, and that is a powerful place to be. He says, serve to transform yourself. You see what I'm talking about with the fruits of the Spirit? that it should transform your life. So if you serve, those fruits will manifest themselves. He says, anytime we practice the smallest act of service, even if it's not holding a door for somebody with a full heart and says, may I be of use to this person, that kind of giving changes the deeply embedded habit of self-centeredness. I cannot tell you how many times I have opened doors to people and they shoot past me. Sometimes they want to slam the door back in my face. But you know what? I keep doing it. Because maybe one day they may eat their own whatever. So don't let people deter you from doing good. Or don't let people deter you from serving. As a Christian, we must expect that. And I know time is running out, but you know, even in the secular world, they have found out that service has its benefits. You see how the Bible just perfect? They say service can cause relief from pain. You have a headache, and you do a chore in service, so that headache just disappears. That is true. I've seen that happen. Hear this one. Because, you know, a lot of us spend money at the organic food store and the health food store. We go into the supermarket, look for organic. I have to take my supplements today and I can't miss it today. I have to walk 15,000 steps. Let me tell you, I have a Fitbit, so I do that. But why do we do all of this? We want to live longer. Well, guess what? One of what the benefits of serving, the study found, you live longer. And guess what? It comes without no cost. So maybe you should forget some of those organic stuff for a while and serve. Save some money, and the Feast of Tabernacles coming up, you can have fun there. Hear this one, because we as a people are plagued by this one. High blood pressure. Service, they say, lower your blood pressure. And it goes hand in hand with the headaches too. Because sometimes you have a terrible headache, your pressure is high. You engage in service, it will bring it down. And here's another one again. I tell you now, the Bible is such a book. It's rounded. It offers everything. Therapeutic, everything. It reduces mild depression. Reduces mild depression. That is what service does. So you see, there's so many benefits. And young people, hear this one, young people. It benefits your career. Benefits your career. Because when you serve others, and especially when you're fresh in the marketplace and you have that servitude attitude, you're going to go far. You're going to go far. So it's all there. Ephesians 6:7 tells us. Ephesians 6 says, serve with goodwill. As to the Lord. And not to men. So it doesn't mean you don't serve men. But put God first. Put God first. Is it any wonder? In chapter 9 verse 10 tells us, whatever your hand finds you to do, do it with all your might. Do it with all your might. Because when you do it with all your might, you put your all in that, and it will have benefits for you for sure. There are benefits. Just want to go through a quick little story here, because the Bible is filled with them in service. All these great kings of Israel and so on, and the prophets, they were all about serving. They were all about serving. So Hezekiah is cleansing the priesthood. And the Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles 31, quickly, Verse 2, Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priests and the Levites after their courses, every man according to his service, the priests and the Levites for burnt offerings, for peace offerings, to minister, to give thanks and to praise in the gates of the tents of the Lord. He appointed kings, portion of his substance for the burnt offerings, to wit, for the morning and the evening burnt offerings, and the burnt offerings for the Sabbaths, and for the new moons, and for the set feasts, as it's written in the law of the Lord. Moreover, he commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priests and the Levites, that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn, wine, and oil, and so on. In the third month again, he keeps going on. They began to lay the foundation of the heaps and finish them in the seventh month. So Hezekiah, he just keep going. He just keep going. He never stop. And in verse 21, can't go through all the story, but in verse 21 we are told, in every work that he began, in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law and in the commandments, he did to seek his God. Service can also steer you in that godly direction. He did it with all his heart. With all his heart. And guess what? He prospered as a king. He dedicated to his Lord. Here's a little story. A poor boy was selling goods from door to another, one door to another, to pay for his studies. One day he found that he had only one dime left. A penny, a dime. Not a penny, but a dime. And he was left hungry. While approaching the next house, he decided to ask for a meal. But when a young woman opened the door, he only dared to ask for a glass of water, you know. Young girl comes, he forget the hunger. Can I have some water? She looked at him and understood that probably the boy is hungry. So she brought him a large glass of milk. He drank it and then asked how much he owed her. The woman replied, "You don't owe me anything. Mother taught us never to accept pay for kindness." "Then I thank you from the bottom of my heart, he said, and felt now that he's stronger, not only physically, but faith in God has grown as well. And guess what? That boy's name was Howard Kelly. Famous. Many years have passed, and one day that woman became seriously ill. Local doctors could not help her. Therefore, they sent her to a big city where her rare disease would be studied by specialists. Dr. Howard Kelly was called for the consultation. When he entered her room in the hospital, he immediately recognized the woman that showed kindness to him when he was poor and hungry. The doctor was determined to do his best to help her recover from her disease. The struggle was long, but together they managed to overcome her illness. After some time, the woman received a bill for her treatment. She was worried that the amount to pay would be so significant that it would take the rest of her life to pay for it. Finally, when the woman looked at the bill, she noticed the words that were written on the side of the bill, and the words were, "Paid in full with a glass of milk." Paid in full with a glass of milk. See what service can do, brethren? That word is powerful for the Christian. That word is your, I don't want to use the word ammunition because you're going to think about war, but that word is ammunition for the Christian. Service. Service. There's a saying, service to man is service to God. Another says, the hands that serve are holier than the lips that pray. Think about it. A lot of wisdom in that. Yeah. It's a proverb that's very, very strong. But remember, we are ambassadors for the living God. When an ambassador goes into a country, you think he just sits in his living room or his office and drink wine and feel good and say, oh, I'm in another country, I can do as I like? An ambassador's work is non-stop. Service. That's what it's all about. Service. And we are called ambassadors for Jesus Christ. So our job is synonymous with service. The job for them is all about serving their country. Our job as ambassadors for Christ is to serve unwaveringly to the work of God. To go out to the world and to preach the life-saving gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom. That is service. To do that is service. And I'm closing now. If we love one another as He loves us, what comes with a strong desire to serve the church of God who, and the saints who comprise the body? If we have that love, there has to be that strong desire to serve. To serve. If we have that fruit of the Spirit, that is joy, we'll be happy. Because when you're joyous, you're happy all the time. And we should be happy to serve. If we have gentleness, it will bring a sense of appreciation for God having called us. And brethren, when He recognizes our calling, we want to serve the Creator. And we can serve the Creator through the saints of God. Remember, the saints are out there, but the saints are here too. We are the saints of God. If we have kindness, we would want to give our best in everything we do for the church and without a second thought. We do for our brothers and our sisters. Kindness is a trait that, you know, in today's society, it's misinterpreted that kindness is weakness. Because unscrupulous people take advantage of people. But kindness is not weakness. Amen. Kindness is demonstrating who we are. Children of the Most High God. Amen. If we have patience and long suffering, here comes the test of endurance that will enable us to reflect on our journey and impart what we have learned while serving one another. As I said, over the next coming months ahead, right now to Passover, you're going to hear this word about service. You're going to hear it from different angles, from different speakers. Because there's no way we can claim to have the fruits of the Holy Spirit and we are not engaged in serving one another. No way. The greater good and the greater reward is coming. On my way here today, I was just listening on the radio, all of these grandiose plans to go to Mars. To go to Mars. 2035. They should be taking off to go to Mars. I'm saying these people don't have anything to do. I know space is important. Space technology. Because if it wasn't for space technology, you wouldn't have a cell phone using. But to go to Mars? To do what? You pollute here, you're going to want to pollute there too, right? But to do what? When people are, you know, hungry and so on. So we don't have our mindset on Mars. I know, I can say nobody in here have their mindset on Mars. We have our mindset on the day that trumpet is going to blow and Jesus Christ will come with His rewards to give all of us. And for those of us who are serving, and some of us here, there's stalwarts here who are serving, I commend you and I just lift you up before God. Continue to do it. But some of us who need to get on the bandwagon, I say, hop on. Hop on. Time is running out. Redeem the time that we have. and your reward will be there waiting for you.
Amen.
God bless.